Today we're preaching on the Ten Commandments. You know why we need to preach Ten Commandments? It's God's top ten. Think about, would you put down in your family or your lineage 10 things that you wanted to be remembered and never forget? 10. And we're talking about 10 of these things. These are God's top 10. They're important to God. They were the law of the land, and grace has come and fulfilled us. And now the law is written upon our hearts, the words. But it's a great thing to know what God desires. I don't teach these as a regimen of do's and don'ts. The closer that I do what God wants me to do, the greater my God becomes in my life. Man, when I obey and I walk with Him, it changes the way I walk. It changes the way we talk. Last week, if you missed that message, you need to get it. Learning how to talk and never taking God's name in vain. There's 1,000 ways to do that. Don't miss that sermon, because that sermon was giving God out of our mouths the respect that He needs. First commandment tells us who He was. He's Jehovah. He's phenomenal. He created it. He began it. The second commandment told us how to worship Him. How is so important? Because we can be so far from worshiping Him by doing a regiment that we do. Learn how to worship Him. The third commandment was learning how to respect Him with your words. You may not judge people wrongly by the way they dress or where they go, but you'll never judge them wrongly by their mouth. Their mouth reveals who we are. And when we're mad, when we're hurt, when we're afraid, our mouth speaks who we are. Now today, He opens this next commandment with the word remember. He knew how people like us forget. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you forgot something? An appointment? A commitment? An anniversary? A birthday? Where you put something? I was leaving today, coming to church, and I couldn't find my phone. Seen it 20 minutes earlier. It took me 5 minutes to remember where I saw that. It's amazing how quick we forget. It almost makes us feel kind of foolish, like we're losing our mind. We're just there and we got. So He says, I know how easy it is to forget, but I don't want you to forget the Sabbath day. Because see, the Sabbath day makes me number one as God. It creates a holiness as we worship Him, and it changes our mouth as we respect Him. And so if we forget the Sabbath day, all those commandments go in vain. The first four of these commandments deal with a relationship with God. The rest of these commandments deal with our relationship with one another, how we treat one another. Let me share this with you. If we don't treat God properly, we'll never treat the loved ones properly either. It's important to treat God as God. He is awesome in our lives. So remembering is something that we must do. For me, I got to write it down. My wife writes everything. I don't believe she ever got it, because she writes it down. Right off the bat, she writes it down. So if I really want to know what I'm supposed to do today, I just go read her list. I don't forget. It's on there. She writes it down. I write it down, because we forget. I remember as a little boy one time, my teacher, and I was in about fourth grade, I kept forgetting stuff like homework. You know, I keep forgetting that. So the teacher did, she tied a string around my finger. She said, now that string, don't forget to do your homework tonight, and don't take that string off till tomorrow. And so I walked around the house all that day and all that night and afternoon. I was ready to go to bed, and there was that string. I remembered. I got out my homework. I did my homework. Sometimes you got to write a string, put it on your finger so you won't forget. God doesn't want us to forget His day. It's so important to Him to remember all that He is in our lives. The longer we live in America, in the world we are, the less important God's becoming as a nation. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I want us to remember who He is. I want us to respect Him. Not because I want to just keep some legalistic rule. Because I love Him so much, I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to be like His Son, don't you? Don't you want to be like His Son? Sure we do. He set the example for us. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, the longest commandment of all of them. 94 words in His commandment. The longest commandment of all of His commandments. It was about remembering the Sabbath. Let me share this with you. These commandments are not suggestions. We live under grace. These are commandments. God commanded His children. Today He still commands us to be a part of His worship day. It's His day. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all your work. Number one, remember the Sabbath day. Number two, work. Work. That's important, America. Work. You know, you don't eat if you don't work. So He says, remember that. You're going to work 6 days, but you remember My day. Never forget My day. He said, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall not do work, nor you your sons or your daughters, nor your manservants or your maidservants, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who is within the gates. It's a day of relaxing. For the 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Make it His day. Honor Him His day. We live in a world today that's so fast-paced, Sunday is just another day. I'll tell you what they do on Sunday. If you work, they'll give you double time. They'll pay you twice as much to work on Sunday. And how many people don't want to miss double time? All the challenges in the world is on Sunday. The world has a way of taking away the deity of Christ in so many ways of our life. But He wants us to honor His day. He has a day to respect Him. Keep Him on your mind. Be working with Him in the power of grace. It's a day for the family to communicate, for the loved ones to be together. But honor His day. Let's be honest. America has come a long way from that. Remember the blue laws? I remember as a little boy we had blue laws. And on blue laws, everything was closed on Sundays. Maybe a drugstore was open or maybe some emergency situation. But you couldn't work. Nowadays, it's just another day. Billy Graham was preaching to a gentleman one time. And he talked to him about the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. And the fellow, he kind of trumped Billy Graham, says, the Bible says, if your ox gets in the ditch, you can get him out on Sunday. You know what Billy Graham said? The Bible does say that. But if the ox gets in the ditch every Sunday, get a new ox or fill the ditch. Because this is My day. This is My day. This is God's day. He built that into our lives. He wants us to honor that. Man, America is so far from this, but I don't want you and I to be far from this. I want us to know that when you're on vacation, it's still God's day. I want you to know on deer season, it's still God's day. I want you to know on anniversaries, it's still God's day. It's still God's day. It trumps everything else. Say amen to that. You're sitting up in a deer stand and you fall out on a Sunday morning, God just shook your tree special just for you. This is His day. This isn't suggestions. This is what God called us to do for those who love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind. It changes everything when we do it God's way. He knows what it does. It keeps Him first in our lives. It's so easy to make Him last. The commandments. Let me just give you quickly of the relationship between us. When we mess them up between us and God, we're going to mess up each one of us. The last commandment talks about coveting. I should not covet anything by their neighbors. America brags on coveting. Our materialistic world, we covet everything and we go get it. The Bible teaches us not to. As a matter of fact, the 10th commandment, if you would honor the word coveting and not coveting people's stuff, and give God first place, man, God would be first place. Don't ever put anything in front of God or your family. Coveting is sin. Lying? Man, white lies aren't even sin no more. There is okay to lie in America today. When we talk about that commandment, bring a notebook. It's going to be a good day for us, okay? Lying is horrible. To be lied to is terrible. It breaks all trust. Adultery? Those soap operas trained us about that years ago. We recorded them. We learned that was a way of life. We learned that was exciting. Thank God for soap operas. I was preaching years ago back in the 80s, a church in a revival about soap operas. And this lady got mad at the church. She said, "Brother Ron, I don't want you preaching on soap operas. I record them every day so I don't miss them." What's so wrong with them? You know why adultery is crazy? Soap operas made it normal. Soap operas okayed it. Adultery is in. Inside of the church as well as outside of the church. Adultery is horrible. They destroy so much killing. Well, since 1973, we've murdered 50 million babies in America through abortion, killing. Honor our parents, our children. You know that 40% of the babies born in America today are without a father in their home. 40%. I'll talk a little bit more of that in a moment. How do you honor a parent when you don't even know his name? 40% of our little boys and girls in America are raised without a biological father in their house. How do you honor that? How do you do that? See, we've come so far from where God wants us to be. And all the things that God wants us to have. Remember the Sabbath day. It's just not another day, it's God's day. Our church has experienced the Ten Commandments because they're important to God. And what's important to God must be important to us. It must be more important to us. Man, let me help you understand this. It's not about religious rules. It's about a relationship. When I'm born again, I'm in a relationship with the God of the world. I'm his son. He's my father. The reason why fathers are absent, because the devil knows, if fathers aren't there, children are in a mess. And he can destroy their lives. Because we address our heavenly Father, and we call our biological parent fathers. That's not by coincidence. We are to be the one to teach and to lead our family. Dads, you're it. We're no smarter, we're more spiritual than the wife, but we're the leader. That's what God said. Fathers. A relationship that'll bless me. That I may be more like his son. You remember his son. You know who he was. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. He forgave the sins of the criminals. Jesus was nailed on a cross, an old rugged cross. And there at the cross, he looked down there and says, "Father, forgive them people. They don't know what they're doing." See, I want to be like his son. Everything that his son is, I want to be like his son. He mirrored it to us. He walked on this land. He showed us right from wrong. He showed us what the Father is all about. I want to be like him, not like me. Because I know me, and when Jesus saved me, he saved me from me. Say amen to that. Look in the mirror. When Jesus saved us, he saved us from us. From all of our covenant, all of our greed, from all of our immorality that just wants to get loose inside of us. I want to be like Jesus. And the only way I can be like Jesus is honoring what the Father said, how to live your life. Jesus was the Jew of all Jews. He was an Orthodox Jew. He kept the law, never broke one. He was a God that came to teach us how to live our lives. Jews and their love for their father. He wants us to remember that. What's the benefits? What is the big benefits of honoring God on Sunday? I mean, will it take us to heaven? No, you can honor God and go to hell. You got to be born again to go to heaven, amen? The only way you can honor God is by inviting his son into your life through his Holy Spirit. What is the benefit of worshiping God weekly? Let me give it to you. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews today, I want to just share a scripture. You're familiar with it. And as you're familiar with this verse of scripture, I want to put a part on it that you usually forget. Hebrews 10, verse 25. "For forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some." He's talking about coming together in worship. Don't forsake it. Don't forsake the assembly of us coming together. He tells us why. "As a matter of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching." What day? When we come together and worship Him, we benefit, we exhort one another, but it gets us ready for the day. What day is He talking about? He says, so much more as you see the day approaching. He says, as we come together and we worship Him, we see and understand that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back into this world, and the eastern star sky shall split, and He's just going to show up and take His church home. He is coming back. Are you ready? See, whenever we come to church and we worship, we're always getting us tuned up for the coming back. Here's what I've learned in my life. I must live for the end, not just for the moment. When you're 16, you live for the moment. When you're 17, you live for the moment. There comes a day in your life when you're living for the end. And my end is not retirement. My end is going to heaven. I'm living for the end. I want to be in fellowship, walking with God, ready for the coming. You know, sometimes maybe you invite the family over your house and you're having a big day and they're all going to come. Man, you know, when they're all coming, you're getting ready for their coming, aren't you? I mean, you shine everything up, you know, you cook everything, you get everything just right because they're coming. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that Jesus Christ is coming back? Do you know He's going to come back and take us? And He says, when you come and you assemble together, you're getting ready for the day, because the day will be known when He comes. And when He comes, He'll speak to us in the twinkling of an eye. I want to help you know that. Are you ready for the day? Are you ready for His coming? Let me just talk a little bit about that coming. In Thessalonians chapter 5, He speaks to us about the coming of the Lord. That's the day we're getting ready for. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me ask you this. Do you really believe Jesus is coming back? Are we ready? Is there a couple things we'd like to do before then? Like see our children saved, co-workers saved, our loved ones? See, when you're getting ready for the coming of Christ, you become a witness. You become a light because you be concerned about lost people. You know what really blows my mind about churches? Boys and girls, people we walk around, people we see, we never think about praying for their lostness. We never think about inviting them to church. How many people have you invited to church in the last year? Before the pandemic? How many people have you invited? How many times have you thought about somebody lost and they're without Christ? If they die, they're going to go to hell. How many, and you're getting ready, you know, Jesus is coming back and you want them to be saved. How about your children? How many are you thinking about? Are they really saved? Are you ready for His coming? Because when Jesus comes, time shall be no more. Amen. There'll be a hell and there'll be a heaven, but He's coming back. But He says, when we come and we assemble, what do we assemble for? Because we're getting ready for His coming. We don't even think about it. Never crossed our mind. How much money you made last week? What'd you do? Was you productive? How many of you ever thought about Jesus coming back? Because when you come to worship Him, it prepares us for the day. Let me tell you how He's going to come. But concern the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need that I should write to you. Now, I want you to know that Jesus is coming back. You don't write it on your calendar. You don't set an alarm clock. But He's coming. He is coming. Amen? Now, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Could you think of anything more painful than a thief in your house at night? He comes as a thief in the night. He comes totally unexpected. Is your house prepared for His coming? Are you saved? If all the loved ones you've been praying for, are they saved? Are you doing spiritual things? Are you helping people? Are you caring for people? Are you loving people? Do they go to heaven? Because see, when your house is ready for the thief, you're ready for it. Because why? We as Christians know He's coming. So we're ready for it coming. He's going to come as a thief in the night, but we're ready for Him to come. My children have been saved. My loved ones have been saved. My co-workers have been saved. I pray for them. I witness to them. They need to have Christ in their life and their hearts. Are you prepared for that? Or is all you thought about this week is just you? All you thought about just coming back to church and I get to be here. Never thought about the 85, 90% never come to church. You ever thought about them? See, church gets us ready for His day. For all of us. Be prepared for it. In verse 3, For when they say peace and safety and sudden destruction comes upon as labor pains of a pregnant woman, you shall not escape. If you ever have seen the labor pains of a pregnant woman, that's a lot of pain, and you will not escape that. That's what's going to happen, and it's coming. But you, brethren, you're not in darkness, so this day should not overtake you as a thief. You're ready for it. You're prepared. God's going to rapture us out, and when He calls us, we're on our way. But how about those who aren't prepared for the day? How about those that aren't going to get to go to heaven? How about those who are going to suffer tremendously? Are you thought about them? We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. It's us. It's just not a preacher. It's just not a music. It's every born-again boy and girl and men and women in the land of God that we can be light to the darkness of our world. Have you prayed for a lost person by name this week? Remember that. God answers prayer. Remember that. God hears your prayer. Remember how people get saved. Somebody prayed for them somewhere. Why not you? Are you ready for the day? He's coming. Verse 5. You're all the sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober, vigilant. He's coming. I've been studying this sermon. You want to really keep your wife awake all night, just look over and say, honey, just think, it could be exciting. God could come back tonight, change everything. That'll make you say, that does change everything, doesn't it? We're ready for His coming. Are we ready, honey? Is there something else we should have done? There's something we need to be doing? Are we ready? Our loved ones, our neighbors, caring. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. He didn't come down here to heal cancer. He came down here to save the lost. He died for lost people. Out of His passion and love and miracles, He can take care of every need we have. Amen? But He came to save the lost. Have you ever shared your faith with anybody? See, be vigilant. Be alert. See, we come together and we worship because we're getting ready for what? For the day is coming. The Jews today, the Orthodox Jews, doesn't believe Jesus ever came. They don't believe He was the Messiah. They're still waiting to come for the first time. Man, He's come, He's lived in this world, and He's in my heart. You can't miss Him. Are we prepared? Verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort one another, edifying one another, just as you are doing. We come Sunday to worship a Christ, to heal us, to take care of us, to bless us, but to get us ready for the coming of Christ. Ready or not, here I come. Are we ready? Are we so messed up about a pandemic, we forgot about lost boys and girls and men and women, not even on our vocabulary. We're more interested in being safe than we are sharing our faith. It's easy to do. Isn't it easy to do? Say yes. When's the last time you heard a message of the second coming of Christ? I remember a little boy. I mean, Billy Graham used to have films. Man, I used to go home and talk about second coming of Christ. Man, I would lay asleep in the night ready for Him to come. I was excited. But today, it's a doctrine that we don't even deal with in church. Hebrews says, I want you, don't forsake the assembly because we come to build one another and we're getting ready for the day of His approaching time. That's the reason why we have a Sabbath day, so we won't forget. So we come together and exhort, getting ready for the day. He's coming back. The benefits are phenomenal. And all that He does and all He's going to be in our lives, He's going to change everything. But He wants to be ready for the day. Let's talk about that. Come as a thief, sudden destruction. 9/11 was a horrible event in America when those Twin Towers went down. Think about the whole world burning. Think about the world burning. We've seen two towers. Think about it, the second coming of Christ when the Antichrist runs loose through this tribulation period. Think about the suffering that's going to happen. Let's don't fall asleep. Verse 5, we're the light. We live in the light. We proclaim the light. We do away with darkness by His grace. We're sober. He's the truth. Let me give you a little something here. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth. Let's look at some facts today in America. A third of all Christians polled believe in absolute truth. Only a third believe in absolute truth. Absolute truth that Jesus is the only way. There's a lot of Christians who believe there's got to be another way. Over there in Africa, over there in India, maybe somewhere, maybe my neighborhood, or maybe my dad. Truth, absolute truth. Only a third of Christians believe it in our land. Listen to this. Absolute truth. Our youth, 17% of our youth believe in absolute truth. 17%. To them, it's abstract. You can kind of make it up as you go. 17%. As adults, 26% believe in absolute truth. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't have a Savior without absolute truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. He made that statement because one day truth will be challenged, and truth is what abstract we think it should be. That's where we are in America. Immorality is wild. 40% of our children born out of wedlock. 40%. Let me break it down to you. In the whites, in America, 29%, no daddies. Hispanic, 53%, no daddies. The African American, 71%, no daddies. They grew up in their homes. 50 million babies have died. You know that 18% of all pregnancies in America are aborted? 18% of the millions every year become pregnant. 18% are aborted. You know who God loves? God says, you mess with the children, you're going to mess with me. And what are we doing? We're aborting them, and we're raising them without daddies in their house and ready for the coming of Christ. Isn't it something how the devil is so cruel he picks on the weak and destroys lives because of it? That's on our watch. That's happening for us right now. I've watched the Supreme Court say that marriage isn't marriage. I've watched the Supreme Court say all kinds of things. It's okay to kill babies. I've listened to that. The Dred Scott law years and years and years ago that the African Americans weren't people. And it says on the Supreme Court, in God we trust, there's no absolute truth in America today. You know why we re-worship? We need to remember. Remember what? What the world don't remember. What the world is saying is wrong. It's horrible to know what's happening. I don't like to hear those statistics. We forgot God's day. And when we forget God's day, it's His top 10. He wants us to remember it because it makes a difference in everything else in my life. Amen? It makes a difference in our lives. The one thing about His coming, He speaks to that in our lives. In chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, I want to read verse 36 as we close. But of that day, the hour no one knows, no. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, also will the coming Son of Man be. In the days of Noah. Remember, the days of Noah was so evil, there was no good thoughts anywhere. Immorality, homosexuality. In the days of Noah, it was crazy. He says when He comes back, it'll be like the days of Noah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in America in the days of Noah. And let me remind you, America is the godliest spot in the world. God has blessed America more than any place in the world because our forefathers reverenced God. And we kept His day. And we were ready for His coming. We've come a far way from Christ. We'd be in the days of Noah, and we're here. For in the days of the flood, there were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage of the day that Noah in the ark. Did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there'll be two. There will be two men will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women, one will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Watch therefore, for you know not that hour the Lord cometh. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what the hour the thief would have come, he had watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect Him. Now let me just ask a real personal question. How many of you believe He's going to come today? If you believe He could come today, raise your hand. Wow. We know He's not coming today. It's when we least expect Him. Amen? Think about this. When you honor His day, you honor His life. We become light. We make a difference in our world. America is in a tough time politically, socially, the unrest. We can't put a thumb on it. We can't fix it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when the horse is out of the barn, it's out of the barn and evil is running loose. 85% of the people in this county never goes to church on any given Sunday. That's before the pandemic. I wonder what it is like now. I wonder what it's like now. This was our big day. We brought back the children's ministry today. And some of you I see here today for the first time. Let me say thank you for coming. I hope this worship will make a difference in your life. You know why? The day's coming, and we need to be ready for that day. And I pray for the Lord to bring people back to church. And you know how people come to church? People bring people to church. Let me ask you a question. How many years you've been a member of this church? How many years in your mind? Just think about it. How many people have you brought with you to church in all those years? Besides your family. And now they don't even come, half of them. How many people have you brought to church? How many people did you pray for? How many co-workers on the line where you worked did you invite them to church? How many people did you speak to about the day is coming and we need to be ready? How many? And we wonder why they're not responding? Because we're it. And we bring them, and we don't bring them, they don't come. I'm amazed. Churches that never hardly baptize anyone in America. You know what the churches baptize? 10 or 15 people. You know who they baptized? Their children in the body that never reached anybody. And we're having a great service today. We're baptizing our children, and we need to baptize. And we're going to start baptizing again. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? Let me tell you something. When I come to church, and I come to worship Christ, and we sing, and we pray, and we preach, and nobody meets Jesus, my heart breaks. I can tell you thousands of times I've drove home from service with tears in my eyes. God, what are we doing wrong? Nobody got saved. It isn't how much money we have. Isn't the money good? It isn't how great the preacher is. It isn't how wonderful the music is. If nobody gets saved, hell owns the place. Because Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. And it doesn't even cross our mind. We just think about us in our holy bubble. Man, the other day we had some saved people coming. I can't save anybody. You don't save anybody. But God will save anybody that asks. And how will they come if we don't share with them? How will they come if we don't pray for them? What are you doing? You come and you give your tithes. You give your offerings. You do things for Christmas. You do things for special events. We do basketball. We invite people. And we try to. But we do that for one reason. Why? To win people to Jesus plus nothing. If that choir sings of a choir of about 50 people up there, and it sounds like music from heaven, and nobody gets saved, If we teach Sunday school class, have you ever, as a teacher, have you ever let somebody Jesus in your class? Why not? Your class is to reach people. It's an evangelistic tool to invite people and sit down with a godly teacher, boys and girls, and teach them about Jesus and ask them if they want to be saved. It don't even cross our minds. We wonder why the statistics I just read to you is crazy in America, because the church house in America has forgot the day. It's a suggestion to most people. Forgot the day. Don't forsake the assembly, because he's coming back as a thief in the night if we're not prepared. Amen? I've done prison ministry and jail ministries a long time. I actually preached at a church plant last Sunday night in E-Town. Preached outside. Great time. Had about 45 people come. And there Sunday night, about five men who came to me and wanted to be saved. Is there. Out in the 31W preaching. He got saved. It was a great day. I preached a funeral this week of a 37-year-old lady who I baptized, knew her all her life, big personality. One of her old boyfriends caught up with her. She's living a good life, and just took her out for a big night that night, night of stupidity, and she OD'd, and she died. The 15-year-old daughter, I sat in the funeral home that day. They were making arrangements, and the funeral director says, "Sweetie, what's your address?" She says, "I don't know. I don't have an address. I don't know my daddy. And my mama just died. I don't even have an address." Boy, this is a world that's so upside down. So broken. I break with it. I yearn for it. These statistics drive me nuts. It's on our watch. And what in the world are we doing? Because the day's coming. That's why we remember. I pray you remember today the communion. Remember his death. He died so we could be his light. And pray for boys and girls and men and women. And little girls and boys that don't have a mommy or a daddy. Are we involved? Are we inconvenienced? May God help us. Remember the day. Never forget the day. And I close with this. Every Sunday counts. If you think you can cheat on God one Sunday out of the year, that don't work. He gives us none. Find a way. My son started working, first job, and he started working Sundays. I said, "Jason, I know you love the Lord, but Jason, you're going to start working Sundays and making double time, and all of a sudden this God in your heart's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Jason, find a job you don't work on Sunday. Ask God to give you one. Just ask him." See, the devil can take you right where he wants you by giving you a big job that works on Sunday and takes you away from his day. He's got you. He'll pay double time for you. Remember his day. These are decisions that God will bless us to remember his day. Remember. It's the only commandment that starts with the word remember.